We know it's been 1 month since CFAP signup began, and according to the numbers we've seen, USDA has distributed $4 billion in those payments out of the $16 billion designated for the assistance. What's your take on that signup interest so far?
Well, Kara, I think, you know, I mean, we anticipated a great deal of response, you know, right after the secretary made the announcement. You know, we initiated, after the announcement, we had about a week, I believe, before before sign up began, and you know, we knew it was going to be there was going to be a lot of response, certainly, and I really think that we're in a pretty good place. The NOFA closed yesterday, and so lots of comments and submittals from various commodities through the NOFA process, but you know, what we know today, the commodities that are in, in the CFAP program, I think that, you know, certainly farmers and ranchers are responding to the program. You know, our staff have been able to, depending on, you know, kind of what kind of operating status our offices are in, have really been able to accept applications. You know, we've tried to, it's really been an all hands on deck kind of approach. Really focusing on CFAP and getting some, getting resources to the field to help them in this status, to be able to take applications and to get those through the process, get them approved and get payments to producers. And, you know, I think, you know, for a month in, we've done pretty well in my mind.
How many notice of funding availability or NOFA filings has USDA received?
So I don't have that number right now, Kara. I mean, it was significant, over 1,000, and that, that's any kind of comment, whether it's someone just merely making a statement that this should be included, to all the way to, different commodities, providing data, supplying data to support inclusion. Some of the responses, submittals are fairly extensive. Some are pretty, maybe just a comment or so. So, again, I don't have that number, but it was significant. I think folks were very well aware of the NOFA process, to be able to provide that data and that input to USDA. Now we go to work and determine what, based on that data, what else may be included in the CFAP program.
So how do you do that? How do you approach the next steps of going through these requests?
Kind of putting them in three categories. We're putting them in three categories. So again, we had some responses that were basically, I think this ought to be included, and that was the end. And then there were some that said, I think this ought to be included. Here is some data that maybe not quite as complete as what we would need. In those cases, we'll probably reach out to get further clarification if it's not something that we completely can understand based on the submittal. And then there are some that are very detailed, and again, we may need to, reach out to the submitter to get additional clarity or maybe to explain something. But we want to do this right, and we want to be able to use the data that folks have submitted. We're working very closely in this process, with AMS and also with the chief economist's office, to make sure that we're interpreting the data correctly, make sure that, what we're getting in what we have gotten in the submittals, is data that we can use to support, adding commodities, to that. And I think that, the process is a sound one. When we rolled out the CFAP program, we used the data that we had to be able to get started on the program, to get commodities included, get those in, get the sign up initiated, knowing full well that we didn't have access to all the data that we would need. And it was decided that the NOFA process was the best way to be able to gather that data from the public, and have them help us gather that data to determine if there is a 5% or greater price decline in that period of time that we're kind of looking at, that first quarter of 2020. And so, you know, we're going to get on it very quickly. You know, again, it's Farm Service Agency, AMS, the Chief Economist's Office. You know, we've got a number of folks that are digging in to the submittals, digging into the data, to understand what those are. And, you know, we'll be making some decisions, I would say, fairly quickly. A timeline, I don't have one. But that ought to be coming fairly quickly.
So fairly quickly, maybe being a few weeks, because 1,000 of these, that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, I think so. You know, as they were coming in, we were kind of putting them together, and you know, in the different categories, and you know, if it were a comment, for example, on specialty crops, you know, a lot of times that would go to AMS for them to try to digest the data. If it's a livestock or a non-specialty or a dairy kind of question or data submitted around that, you know, our folks are at FSA are taking that information, again, working directly with the Chief Economist's Office. So some of the work was ongoing as the NOFA process was happening, you know, and now that the comment period, essentially the comment period of the NOFA has expired, you know, we know that we have the data, and we'll get through it pretty quickly. So yeah, Kara, I think weeks, and not many weeks. So you know, I guess, you know, folks ought to be expecting some announcements in some weeks. Again, I don't know, you know, I don't know what that looks like, but you know, we want to do this absolutely as quickly as we can, but we also want to make sure we get it right.
I'm also wondering about the $16 billion that had been designated for the CFAP assistance, Richard. We heard that there could be some more funds available in July. What's the status of those funds? When does the USDA anticipate being able to expand this $16 billion available?
Well, that's a good question, Kara. And, you know, I don't know that any decisions have been made at this point. You know, there is going to be some replenishment of CCC funding that goes into the Commodity Credit Corporation, you know, borrowing authority column. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we fund other programs out of that as well. So, you know, if there's ARC or PLC payments that are triggered in, you know, in October, CRP payments, you know, they come out of that. So we do have some standing program obligations that, you know, that we'll need to, you know, that those dollars go to fund, certainly. And so I don't know. Well, I do know there's not been a decision yet around what that replenishment looks like. Or what does that mean to, you know, to CFAP and to the $16 billion that's in the program right now?
I did have a question from one of the groups that had asked maybe for the NOFA filings. They wanted to know, this COVID-19 pandemic impact likely spans beyond quarter one. Can USDA remove hurdles for farmers to apply so they can get future aid?
So I think what the question is can this be extended out to another period of time? And right now, given our budget and kind of given what, you know, the CARES Act funding, you know, that came to us, so $9.5 billion that came out of the CARES Act, and then we were able to supplement that with $6.5 billion out of CCC, you know, really focuses on a period of time, kind of focusing on first quarter with some maybe assumptions leading into the second quarter. And, you know, that's really been our focus around the initial CFAP program was that period of time and the effects on, you know, the effects on markets, you know, quarter one, and then again, making some kind of assumptions into part of quarter two, you know. And so, you know, right now without additional funding, I think it's going to be difficult to, you know, to stretch this funding out into periods going forward. You know, again, taking a look at a period of time, you know, we had to come up with a time that these were affected. You know, what was the impact and kind of kind of approach it from that standpoint.
While we're on the topic of the CFAP, what's the biggest lesson you think you guys have learned in implementing this COVID program so quickly and trying to get it out?
Well, I really think the approach was sound. And, you know, just from the perspective of, you know, selecting a period of time based on when we, so the CARES Act was passed, you know, late March. I believe the president signed it in March 27th, I think. You know, and looking at what the impacts were related to the sectors that we're in. You know, also, I think, you know, understanding that we didn't have all the data, but that we had, in my mind, a sound approach to gather data from the public to be able to get things, get information that maybe we didn't have access to. So we could initially roll the program out and then also have the ability to add commodities moving forward. Using the NOFA process to do that. And I think that works well. You know, again, rolling this program out as quickly as we did. So when you think about, you know, kind of how, you know, how does a, so if a program, so there's, you know, there's either funding that comes to us from Congress or, you know, if it's a farm bill program, you know, that's a little different, but, you know, an ad hoc program with funding from Congress, you know, they give us kind of a direction as to, you know, kind of just at a high level, you know, what this program should address. And then we go to work to try to put policy around it. Obviously, there are a number of things around in that policy. It's what's included, you know, what are the payment limitations? What are the things that, you know, need to be kind of the foundational basis of the policy of the program? But simultaneous to that, you know, we have to start looking at, as this policy is kind of solidified, we have to look at, you know, writing handbook language for our staff. You know, these programs get implemented on the ground in county offices, and I can't say enough about the folks that, you know, that work on behalf of agriculture in those local service centers. So we've got to be able to train them. They've got to be able to understand the program. You know, so that they can administer the program. Again, simultaneous to that, there is IT development that has to take place, so that we can do this effectively and efficiently, you know, to deliver that program. And so there are a lot of moving parts as we start to stand this up. Secretary gave us a goal, you know, to be able to start issuing payments in May. We made that goal with sign up on the 26th of May, and then we actually were able to issue some payments still in May. And so for the speed, you know, the speed in which we stood this up, because we knew there was a real need out there that we need to get this program stood up, get it started, start providing some really much needed relief to producers. You know, I think things went pretty well, you know, and every one of these programs always is a little bit different. Obviously, you know, we did a couple of market facilitation programs that, you know, the first one was different than the second one. Obviously, this one's different than the market facilitation programs. So, you know, actually identifying the need, you know, identifying, you know, what the approach needs to be, or the best approach, certainly to accomplish what we needed to do. You know, I think we learned some things, frankly. I think we learned some things in standing up a number of ad hoc programs that helped us kind of shorten the timeline, which, you know, which was beneficial. Certainly beneficial to the agency, beneficial to the department, and certainly beneficial to producers.
So WIP Plus program payments are being made, I think, still in places like North Dakota. I know farmers are still waiting on funds, I think, for that. I think CFAP took precedence. Is there anything being addressed on getting the WIP Plus or the staffing, things like that, figured out, and then maybe also on this quality loss provisions included in the WIP Plus, Richard?
Sure. So WIP Plus funding is available. I know, you know, applications are being taken. You know, that is, you know, that program is, I mean, it is funded. We are making payments. You know, it is a bit of a challenge to go through kind of some of the application processes. When we were doing it exclusively remotely, you know, we have had, from a staffing standpoint, you know, certainly the health and safety of our employees is paramount. Health and safety of our customers is paramount. And so we've looked at, you know, kind of a reopening strategy that's phased. And we look at, you know, we look at scientific data around the number of cases, the percentage of the population. How, you know, are the indicators, you know, we're seeing a trend in cases increasing? Are we seeing a trend in cases decreasing around COVID-19 and making those decisions based on information supplied at the local level that's ultimately approved here as far as, you know, can you reopen into phase one? Phase one actually brings back more employees into the office. So we have more folks in the office at one time. Phase two allows for some appointments, you know, some in-person appointments in those county offices. And so, you know, as we continue to kind of work our way back into a reopening status, you know, those things kind of work their way out. But we've made some investments in technology to be able to transmit documents, to get digital signatures from producers on applications, which has helped. And, you know, we continue, you know, our folks, so our staff continue to get more comfortable, you know, with using these newer technologies. You know, Kara, the Farm Service Agency has always been, you know, a customer-facing agency. You know, we have those interactions with producers either at the counter or, you know, even at the workstation within the service center. That's really how this agency's been geared. When we went to more of a remote status and then exclusively a remote status for a while, you know, we had to adapt the way we were doing business. And I think our team, so our FSA employees, I think they were very quick to adapt and very quick to be able to embrace technologies that were allowing us to work with producers remotely. You know, we've also been able to, you know, to bring on some temporaries, you know, in places where we see these elevated workloads to be able to help, you know, with a number of things that are related to the activities in that office. And looking at other opportunities to bring on some additional resources. You know, so I think, you know, from our approach, you know, trying to introduce new technologies for this kind of remote interaction with producers, you know, looking at the phased reopening, depending on the case right there on the ground, you know, and then, you know, the temporaries and some other kind of human resources that we're able to bring in to help. You know, it's going to help. You know, we're working at it as quickly as we can. And, you know, again, if you look at just CFAP alone, you look at the dollars, you know, that have been processed and the number of applications and producers that have participated, it's pretty astounding that number is as large as it is, really just really, you know, 3.5 or so weeks in.